Okay, we're gonna begin. What time do y'all have? 57. Okay, this clock is a bit fast. Well, anyway, we begin. As y'all know, Pastor is in Perth for Bethel's family camp. And so they started last night, and well, let's especially pray for them. The focus of the camp is on loving the commandments of God, and well, let's pray that the Lord will especially bless our Perth brethren. Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to pray for Pastor as he ministers in Perth. We pray, dear Lord, that you will be with him and empower him as he brings forth your word. And we pray, dear Lord, that our Perth brethren will be encouraged and challenged by your word. And we pray this evening that, Lord, even as we take up your word, we pray that you will be with us and bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone was asking me, why do we study the book of Deuteronomy? Why do we take the time to study the laws of Moses, where it may not be relevant to us today? And the reason why we are studying the book of Deuteronomy is because, as one man said, the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. What we have in the New Testament, the foundation, the seed thoughts, it's all in the Old Testament. So, as he says in Scripture, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay, so all of Scripture, not just the New Testament, all of Scripture can be used for instruction. It's profitable for all things. And so the book of Deuteronomy is the most important book because it sets the precedence for the Old Testament, the laws of Moses. Now, some of the laws may not be relevant to us today. Some of them, they, in spirit, we practice those things. And so along the way, we will try to explain what is applicable and what is not. For example, the Ten Commandments, all nine of the Ten Commandments apply today except the Sabbath law. Okay, so in the New Testament, nine commandments, they are re-explained, refine, explain further, and so on. And so we practice nine commandments of the original Ten Commandments. Okay, but in spirit, we do in some ways practice the law of the Sabbath, where we set aside time on Sunday and we focus on the Lord. Okay, so as we go along, we will find out a bit more what is relevant, what is applicable today, and what is not. Last week, we studied about how Deuteronomy chapter 14, it sets a context. Okay, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14 with reference to some of the laws in chapter 14 where he says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." And there are implications. The context is vital. That's what Pastor said last week. And it's important for us to understand the context. And the laws of Moses were meant for the people of Israel to be an outstanding nation, to be a people that will stand out above all the other people. And the laws were meant for them, for their wisdom, for their understanding, for them to fear the Lord And that's one of the things we will deal with this evening. It was meant for them to follow, to obey. It was meant for them to learn how to regard God. Okay. For example, last week we dealt with how there were certain food they were not supposed to eat. For example, the swine. Also, the swine is unclean for you. Okay, and if that is something that's applicable today, we cannot eat sweet and sour pork. We cannot eat pork chop and so on. Yesterday, I brought some of the, you know, the Burmese pastors and Simon to go and buy food. And we went to this Chai Fan store. And there it was. Pig trotters. Wow. Very juicy and fatty. And the first thing they pointed to was that. And I bought two huge ones for them. It's called Voksa in Burmese. And do you all enjoy it? Yeah, they really enjoyed it. Okay. So Pastor went on to the New Testament last week and shared with us from 1 Timothy about how all things, all food, after we prayed, is sanctified and we can partake of it. Okay, now this week we are going to talk about tithing, about giving. And a question, an issue that I'm often asked is with reference to tithing. Should we tithe today? Is it something that we should practice? And in order to understand this, we're going to take a bit of time to trace this idea. Okay, now let's turn to Genesis 14, verse 20. And this was the first mention of tithing. Now here was Abram. He had just rescued his nephew, Lot, who was captured, and he was all able to rescue him. And so in verse chapter 14 and verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now the word Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Okay, so he's king of righteousness, king of Salem, king of peace. And this is very significant. The name is very significant because later on in the book of Hebrews, it is explained how Jesus will come from this idea of the priesthood of Melchizedek. Okay? And he brought out bread and wine. And he was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And so we see Melchizedek worshipping the Lord, coming before Abram, blessing him, and at the same time, worshipping the Lord, giving glory to God. Blessed be God Most High. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. And these were things that must have impressed upon Abram as he saw Melchizedek worship the Lord. He responded by giving him a tithe of all. So there came a deep sense of appreciation, a deep sense of understanding. This is God Most High. This is a God who possesses all things in heaven and on this earth. All things that we have belong to Him, to God. And so here we see Abraham responding with appreciation. Now, we move on to Genesis 28. And in Genesis 28, we read of how Jacob also mentioned about this idea of a tithe. Okay, Genesis 28, and in verse 22. And so he saw how there was this ladder that went all the way to heaven. And the Lord spoke to him, and he responded. And this is what he said. He said, "If God be with me," verse 20, "and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth to you." Okay, so this idea of tithing was passed on from one generation to the next generation. So Jacob understood this. Okay, this was personal worship. It was a response of tithing. The idea of tithing is the idea of personal worship of God. It's a personal sense of worship. It is a free will offering to God in showing appreciation of what God has blessed with. Okay, and it was something that Abraham wanted to give to the Lord. And so Jacob also understood this. Now, for further understanding, let's go to Leviticus 27. Okay, so from the idea of a personal sense of worship, it has now become a regulated thing. Okay, because of the nation of Israel, because of the number of people, this tithing idea became regulated. From a personal thing to a regulated thing for a whole nation. Okay, so in Leviticus 27, we read in verse 26, "But the firstborn of the animals, which should be the Lord's firstborn, no man shall dedicate, whether it's an ox or sheep, it is the Lord's." Verse 30, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed, of the land, of the fruit, of the tree, it is the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." Okay, if a man wants at all to redeem away any of the tithe, he shall add 1/5 to it. Okay, concerning the tithe of the herd, and okay. And so we see now it is regulated. And this is the law with tithing with reference to the land, herd, flock, they all belong to the Lord. Okay, the firstborn. So they are meant to be set apart. They are holy. They are meant to be given to the Lord. Okay, one of the things that the Burmese pastors, some years ago, one of the things they raised up was that the firstborn child, okay, was given to the Lord. So that was something they practiced too. And so along the way, pastor had to correct them. That's something that is in the Old Testament, but it's not applicable today. Okay? So there was now a whole system of law with reference to tithing. Can you see that? So before Exodus, no system. Okay? Personal sense of worship. But now, it has become a regulated system of law. And so today, even today we have what we call the magisterial churches of Germany and Switzerland. If you are a citizen in Switzerland, and if you are a Christian, okay, you have to pay taxes. For example, you have to pay taxes 20%. Okay, but 8% you can choose to give to the government or to the church. 8% of your income tax goes to the church. Can you see that? So if you pay 20%, Singapore, we pay 0% to 22%, depending on your income. Okay? I think average will be about 15%, middle income. So in Germany, you automatically, when you get your salary, 8% will go to the church. Okay, actually that's quite good. We should make this our system in Singapore. Instead of giving to the government, we give to to the church. Okay, but of course, the difference is because in Germany, the government has all the church property. Okay, so the church property belongs to the government. The government will look after the church property. Okay, and that's why the government will charge a fee to the church with regards to looking after the church property and so on. Okay, and this also applies to Switzerland. In any landmark church in Singapore, for example, St. Andrew's Cathedral, okay, because it's a landmark, the government will pay half for its maintenance. Okay, so if, for example, if the church so decides to repaint the church, the government will pay half of it. Okay, maybe Bethany should be a landmark. So that's something that's applicable. In the Roman Catholic Church, all the funds that they receive will all go to Rome. Okay, and that's something that is regularized. Regulated. Now, let's go to Numbers 18. Numbers 18, we read of how all the tithe will be given to the Levites. Okay, Numbers 18, verse 20. Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. And I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform and the work of the tabernacle of meeting." Okay, so it's given to the Levites. The tribe of the children of Levi. Okay, now the Levites, they also have to give a tithe. Can you see this? In verse 26, "And when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as in your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe." Okay. So this was something that was practiced too. The Levites also have to give their own tithe. Okay? Now, so the idea here is that if 10 people were to give a tithe, and of that 10, these 10 people, 10% of what they have, the Levite at least has an average of how the 10 people are living. Can you see that? So if 10 people give a 10 to one Levite, to one of the Levites, he will have an average of the 10 people. His lifestyle would not be too far off. Okay? Can you see that? Okay? So that's why as a pastor, I can own a handphone. Like everybody else, may not be the best, but at least I can still own a handphone. Okay, now let's go to Deuteronomy. Okay, any question so far concerning this? Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 14, to today's passage. Okay, so now we read of the law of the tithe with reference to increase of grain and so on. "You shall truly tithe of all the increase of your grain and the field produce year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil and of the firstborn of the herds and of your flocks." Okay, so now, as the Lord bless, when the Lord gives an increase, you are also supposed to give a tithe. Okay, so all that the Lord has blessed, you tithe. Whatever the Lord blesses and increase year by year, you also tithe that. Okay? And that's important. Okay, why? Now, he goes on to say in verse, he goes on to say, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Now, that is an important principle. Okay, one of the things that we will learn from the book of Deuteronomy are very important principles. Universal principles. Fearing the Lord your God. That is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. It is also mentioned in the New Testament. Okay? But here we see with reference to tithing. With reference to giving to God. We are supposed to practice, or rather the people of Israel are supposed to practice tithing to show appreciation in fear of this God. Can you see this? Okay? And so we see they were meant to obey and keep this law so that they may learn to fear the Lord always. Now, the reason is because God knows what is in man's heart. Okay? And what is in man's heart? Man's heart is that it is greedy. Man's heart is such that it is forgetful. Man's heart is, he will not appreciate what God has done. So the tendency is to forget that the Lord was the one who gave the increase. Okay? They were meant to respond with gratitude, and it is easy for them to forget. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Can you see this? Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we read in verse 10, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land to give you large and beautiful cities, houses full of all good things, when you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Okay, you shall fear the Lord your God. Chapter 8, and in verse 12. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God when you have eaten and are full, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, when it increases, it is increased, it is now blessed by the Lord. And when your heart is lifted up. Now, therein is the danger. When our hearts are lifted up because God has blessed, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought, you know, notice the details. Who brought water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness of manna when your fathers did not know, and he might humble you, that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you shall say in my heart, my power and my might and my hand have gained me this wealth. You see, therein is the danger. The danger to forget all that God has blessed Israel with. You notice all the details that are there. And it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to forget all the details of the things that God has blessed us with. And you shall remember the Lord, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Okay? By any means, forget and follow other gods. Now, And so, they were meant to fear the Lord, their God. Deuteronomy 10 talks about how, what does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep all the commandments of the Lord which He commands that the people of Israel this day for their good. Okay, so here we see the spirit of the law. Okay, the spirit of the law is love. The spirit of the law is obedience. Okay, so we don't, today, the law, the commandment of tithing does not apply. There's no commandment in the New Testament. But what applies today is the spirit of tithing. Can you see this? If we understand what it means to fear the Lord, if we understand what it means to obey the Lord, if we understand what it means to keep His commandments, we will also think and consider what it means to practice the spirit of tithing. Can we see this? Okay. So there is this underlying principle of remembering the Lord for all that the Lord had blessed. Okay. And so it is also worship. Worshipping God. When we tithe, we are also worshipping God. We are meant to have a personal sense of worship. Okay. And Deuteronomy chapter 12, and in verse 5, they're supposed to take the burnt offerings and of your tithe. Verse 6, then you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand, and there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all which you have put in your hand and your households in which the Lord your God has blessed you. Okay, and so you're supposed to bring all these tithes before the Lord, all these different animals. You're supposed to kill it and eat it with joy before the Lord as part of worship. Okay? Now that's really interesting, isn't it? To eat these things before the Lord, part of the sacrifice and part of rejoicing together as one. Okay? As the nation. As a people, okay? And so they were supposed to go to a temple and they were supposed to worship the Lord with joy. This was meant to be one of those laws that they were supposed to be obedient to. Okay. Okay, any questions anybody wants to raise up concerning tithing? Do I practice the principle of tithing? Yes, I do. I've been practicing it since I started work, years ago. Okay? But I give more than 10%. Much more. 10% is what we owe God. 10% is basic. 10% is, you know, this is just the beginning. Basic level. Okay, we should always give more than just 10%. And of course, there are other gifts, Thanksgiving gifts, and so on. But basic level is 10%. Can you see this? This elementary level. Tithing is only elementary level. Okay, and so do we practice this? Yes, we do. Can we practice this? Yes. But it's not something that we enforce as a church. We don't. We don't go to everybody and say, hey, you got to give 10%. Everybody has to give 10%. No, we don't do that. Okay? It is a free will offering. It is something that we do. And it's something where, because I practice it, I learn to fear the Lord. I learn to love the Lord through giving every month. Okay? And it's something that, you know, you cultivate through the years. Initially, when I first started, I didn't know how to do it. Initially, it was more giving as and when. Giving a certain amount. Giving this, okay, dedicated to the Lord. Then along the way, I began to understand this idea of tithing. that is practicing the fear of the Lord. It is showing a deep sense of appreciation for what God has blessed us with. In chapter 14 and in verse, that you learn to fear the Lord your God always, consistently. Okay, when the Lord your God has blessed you, 24. When the Lord has blessed you, and because the Lord has blessed, we should practice this idea of tithing. Okay, still remember me? I made a prayer when I was a pilot. I told the Lord, I was struggling then, wasn't flying very well, and I told the Lord, Lord, if you help me pass, I'll give not only just tithing, but much more to you. You know, I will dedicate whatever I can to you. And the Lord helped me pass. And of course, I helped to my side of my bargain. Of course, this was a very immature way of praying, but the Lord, you know, heard my prayer. And so I gave. And till today, I continue to give. So is it a good thing to practice tithing? Yes, it is. It is a good thing. Okay? Now, in Deuteronomy 14 and verse 24, we also see how the Lord is also very gracious in how we can give this tithing, for the people of Israel to give this tithing. Now, sometimes a person can stay far away. Okay? And he could be miles and miles away from Jerusalem. Of course, this place where the name of the Lord will abide, eventually it will be Jerusalem. And, okay, if he is far away, then he shall, if the journey is too long for you, and so that you are not able to carry the tithe, and if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far, along the way you carry the animal and the animal dies. Defeats the purpose in carrying the animal. And then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand, go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. So you can buy anything. Okay? Oxen or sheep, wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. And you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, and you and your household. Wow. That's a wonderful provision. You can buy anything. You can buy boxa and eat day and night before the Lord. Okay, whatever. Of course, you cannot buy boxa because... okay. Oxen or sheep, lamb chops. Okay, oxtail soup or whatever. Okay, and you can prepare these things before the Lord, and there will be a burnt sacrifice, you know, before the Lord, and you can eat it with joy. Okay, you shall not forsake the Levite, who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. Okay, so you're supposed to remember the servant of God as well. Can you see this? Okay, any questions? Anybody want to ask? Now, in verse 29, we read of how at the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates, and the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands which you do. Now, this is beyond tithing. Okay, it's part of tithing, but here we see the idea of giving to the Levite and to the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. They were meant to give to the poor, the orphans, the fatherless, and the widows. Okay? They will also be satisfied within their gates. Bring the tithe of produce of their store it within your gates, and to give within your gates, that you may come and eat and be satisfied. Okay, so provision is given to those who are in need. Okay? So this is something that we, you know, we are practicing. We're learning what it means to provide for the fatherless, to the widows. And of course, Kumkum and Tranga are recipients of what we've been seeking to do at BCDC in Yangon. Sorry, in Tahan. Recently, there was a young lady who came to church. Her name is Mary. And she is a contemporary of Kukum. And she came to church one Wednesday afternoon. She introduced herself. And she said that she was from the Bethany Orphanage. She's been in Singapore for the last 7 years. She's been working, looking after older people in Singapore families. And she can't come on, you know, there's, her off day is not on the weekend. And on Wednesday, she came, one Wednesday. And she began to talk to us. She can speak very good English. And so I went to my old photographs that I took when we went to Tahan many years ago. And there was one picture. I thought it was her. And I showed it to her. And she said, "That's me." And I remembered her. And she said, "That's me," because she has a white spot on her leg. In the picture, there was a white spot on her right leg. And you know, I was very thankful. Thankful for what Pastor started in Tahan, what Bethany is doing, because we're giving these orphans a chance at life, a chance to earn a living. And so she's been here for the last 7 years. She's saving up money. And very soon, she says she's going to go home and buy a house for her family. Well, we thank God for that. Okay, we thank God for Kukum and Tranga. They are here, and they are seeking to be pastors. Okay, and here we see the work of providing for the fatherless, the work of providing for the widows, and so on. Okay, and here when we do that, then there's also the blessing of the Lord. The Lord will specially bless. Okay, and you know, may our hearts be challenged and encouraged this evening to consider what it means to give. If you are not practicing tithing, maybe that's something you should consider. Can I give, you know, a monthly gift towards the Lord? Yes. It's not stated in the New Testament. It's not commanded. It's not a command. And yet it's something we can practice. Something that we can do on a monthly basis. We can practice this idea of fearing the Lord. Okay, you know, it helps us to consider what it means to love the Lord. You know, it causes us to be appreciative of what the Lord has blessed us with. And that's something for us to consider. Okay? There's this little girl by the name of Haiti May. And in the 1930s, this little girl wanted to go to a small church to go attend the Sunday school. But because it was a small church building, there wasn't enough room for her. And so she went away sobbing. And then a pastor came by and saw her, and she said that there was no room in the Sunday school building and in the church. And so the pastor took her and brought her to a corner of the church. And so she started attending Sunday school. Now, a few years later, she comes from a very poor family. And 2 years later, she died of a sickness. And because the pastor had ministered to her, so the parents asked the pastor to come and receive her body. And so when they went, they took the body away, and as they took the body away, below her pillow was an envelope. And in that envelope was 57 cents, pence. And in that envelope, there was a note that says, you know, how she has been saving for the last 2 years to give to the church building so that they can build a bigger church for their Sunday school. And wow, the pastor was so deeply moved by that. And so he went and gave a sermon entitled 57 Cents. And after he gave that sermon, the newspaper picked it up and they published it. And there was a man who was deeply moved. He decided that he was going to give a piece of land to the church. And he gave the piece of land, and it was costly. The church said we could not afford it. And he said, you can pay for the piece of land for 57 cents. And from then onwards, people started giving by the hundreds, by the thousands. Within 2 years, they raised $250,000. Okay, today, Temple Baptist Church is a huge church. It has a university, and it has a hospital, and it has a huge Sunday school building meant to reach out. And you know, they all say that it was because of this little girl who gave 57 cents that started everything. Okay? And it's interesting what God can do through a little girl. So tithing today is not commanded. It's something, but we can still practice the spirit of tithing. Okay, it's only at an elementary level. Giving 10% is only elementary. We are meant to give more. Okay, and so today, what is it that we actually practice? Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in verse, what we practice today is grace giving. In verse 1, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Okay, bestowed here is a perfect idea. It was something that was bestowed on them, and it continued to have an effect upon them. Okay? On the churches of Macedonia. That in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Okay? And they freely, willing, implored us with much urgency that we receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Ministering to the saints. In verse 7, but as you abound, verse 6, so we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. See, what we have today is called grace giving. As we have received grace from God, you know, we can respond by practicing this idea of grace giving. Okay? We give because of the grace of God. And we give towards those in need. And so the Macedonian church, even though they had little, they were in poverty, great poverty, yet they learned how to give. Can you see this? So here's a very poor girl, and yet she was willing to give. They gave out of their poverty. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Okay, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see the Lord Jesus as an example of giving. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Okay? And here we see the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Macedonian church gave out of their poverty. They gave beyond their ability. They gave to the needs of the Jerusalem church. And they gave cheerfully. And this was outstanding. There was tremendous maturity on their part. Can you see this? Okay. William Carey. William Carey, when he first started off his ministry in India, he didn't have much. The missionary society that sent him did not have much. And very often, whatever he received from them, he would pay those who were doing it, translation for him and those who were copying the Bible and so on. And, you know, his children and his wife suffered quite a bit. It was challenging for him. Okay, but you know what? He continued doing the work of the Lord. He gave. Reverend Fuller, who was the secretary of the missionary society that sent William Carey, he said, it is clear there is a rich mine of gold in India. If you go down, I will hold the ropes. This is what he said. Okay, and so, you know, Reverend Fuller and the missionary society sought to support William Carey in whatever way they can. Now, William Carey served in India for 42 years. Okay, and most of what he received, he will give. Now, years later, he will receive more. When they started missionary stations all over India, the total cost was £90,000. Okay, of course, that's a lot during that time. Now, William Carey contributed, okay, out of 90,000, he contributed £46,000 towards the work. That's a lot. Okay, he was appointed professor of Sanskrit, Bengali, and Marathi. Okay, at a Williams College in Calcutta. He held that position for 30 years. Okay, he will receive about £600 per year, and then his salary increased to £1,200. And this is what he said. He will live on £40 every month. Okay, £40 every year. £20 to buy clothes. The rest, £1,140, he will give to the missionary treasury. Okay, that's William Carey. And so that was something really special. So I was just reading how he gave towards the work in India. Okay, so tithing and giving is a spiritual discipline. It is something that you cultivate. It's something to be practiced fully. And it is something that we can cultivate in appreciation of the Lord for what He has done. And I think as we consider what it means to fear the Lord, this should be a response we should have to God. How can we not give to God? How can we not respond to God for all that He has blessed us with? And that's something for us to cultivate. It's all part of training this idea of exercising faith. If you have freely received, let's learn to freely give. Okay, and so that was something that William Carey learned to give after he received government support. Okay, there was a regulation. This is something that was regulated. Tithing is something, it started off as a personal sense of worship. It can continue to be a personal sense of worship, right? It's something that we respond to God in worship. So I tithe, it's all part of worshiping God. Now, of course, along the way, it became regulated. Okay? And it's good. It's a good thing to see it as a regulated thing because it causes you to give every month. Okay? If your heart is not right, if you think in the wrong way, well, maybe it forces you to still give, which is a good thing. And of course, it will train you. It trains you to think about it and to learn how to appreciate God all the time, every month. When we receive our paycheck, when we receive the blessings of the Lord, when we receive our bonus, you know, it causes you to think, this is a blessing from God. This is something that God has blessed me with. What is my response to God? And the challenge is always to give a tithe. That was what Jacob thought about. That was how Abraham responded to God. Okay. Francis Havergal wrote the famous hymn, Take My Life, 1874. She wrote this hymn. And so when she put this song into print, and she was reading the hymn one day, and she read the line once again, take my silver and my gold, and so on. Then she realized that in her cupboard were all the gold and exquisite jewelry that has been given to her as an inheritance, as gifts. And it was all there in her cupboard. And she felt, you know what? I cannot just write about this. I must also give. And so she took all her jewelries, all the gifts, and she packed all of them into boxes. And she gave it to the Church Missionary Society. All those that she wanted to keep, she wrote a check in the same amount for it and gave it. I thought that was special. And it was something she said. She said, I don't think I need to tell you that I have never packed a box with such pleasure. She gave cheerfully. She gave with a tremendous sense of joy. And this is something for us to consider. What is the principle behind the law of tithing? One, it is faith. It's to give in faith. Faith in a God who has blessed, a God who has given us all that we need. And so our response is to exercise faith. Faith to tithe, faith to give, faith to reach out to those who are poor, in need, we give. Okay? It is also a form of obedience. If you choose to do this, then it is our response to God in obedience. I choose to give because I seek to obey the Lord. It's not a commandment. It's not commanded, but I want to give out of obedience to God. Okay? It is a relationship. It is a relationship between me and God. A loving relationship, a relationship that is based on love, a God who loved me, a God who has blessed me, and a God that I want to love with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. And so out of love, I give. I give to this God. A relationship. And lastly, it is a commitment. A commitment to God that you give. A commitment of love, a commitment where we want to show our appreciation to God every month. Okay, and that's something that I practice. I'm sure people here do practice. It is something that we have come to appreciate. And for those who have not started practicing, well, it's something for you to consider. Now, of course, this is not compulsory. This is something that you can consider and think and practice. I practice it. Okay, the Levi gives a tithe. So, as a pastor, I give. I don't just receive. I give as well. And I give more than just 10%. And that's something that comes from my heart. I mean, how can I not give when the Lord has blessed me so much in life? And this is my expression of faith, obedience, relationship, and commitment. Okay? Just one last verse. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And here is the instruction to the rich. Command those who are rich. Verse 17. In this present age, not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. I like this. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. You know, God has given us all things to enjoy. Food, life, peace, blessings, all things. Let them do good. They may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation. And when they go to heaven, wow, they will be rewarded. And it's always good to be able to have this kind of heart, a heart that will give, a heart that is ready to share with others. Okay? Okay, any questions or anything you want to raise up? Well, may this be something that we will seek to practice, something that we will have for ourselves, something that we can respond to God with. Okay? Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to pray and this evening for this word that is from the book of Deuteronomy about tithing. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to consider what it means to respond to you for all that you have blessed us with. We pray, dear Father, that we can show our love to you by practicing this spirit of tithing and learning what it means to give to those who are in need, in their times of need. We pray, dear Father, that you will help us to continue to support the work of missions. We pray, dear Father, for the work in Myanmar, the BCDC, and at BTS. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless the work there. And we pray that you will be with us as we leave here. We ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you for being here. Good night and God bless.